I suppose I'm not the only one in this place tonight that was somewhat amazed by the weather change. I thought for sure we were going to get rained out and it was going to be cloudy and dark and sort of depressing, as though the events that took place long ago weren't enough for us to kind of feel heavy. The weather didn't seem much to cooperate, and then something happened. Because I'm sure I'm not the only one that was out in the sun somewhat today, or if you happened to be at work, you were longing to be. It was really quite a surprise and quite a kind of an extra gift. But it made me think, what do I love so much about weather that's bright and sunny? And without a doubt, it has to be camping. I was out in the front yard today kind of throwing the ball for our dog, and my neighbor drove up with a new trailer. And he stopped in front of our house and jumped out and wanted to show me around his new trailer. And, you know, of course, he knows I love camping, and he knows it's my very favorite way to kind of get away from it all. It's just to hook up the trailer and head out and go camping. I mean, together times as a family that are not easily forgotten. Not all good, either. Sometimes it's a flat tire. Sometimes it's a plumbing leak. Other times it's just enjoying ourselves around a campfire, but for whatever it is, whatever reason, it's something that we almost default to on a regular basis. Now, you got to understand something about my desire for camping. It's not the kind of camping that some of you enjoy. I don't like tents, and I really don't like dirt at all. Okay? So, you know, I mean, it's just not my thing that, you know, we go out and roll out those things, sleeping bags. I'm not into that at all. I prefer the kind of camping that has a microwave and an oven and a stove and an actual shower and a flush toilet. And do I need to go on? Air conditioning, central heat, the whole works. I like it. By the way, I've learned to pass on campgrounds that don't have cable. Okay, it's just one of the. So I love camping. But to ensure a safe and secure trip, I go and pick up our trailer, and it's nicely stored in a barn with some other trailers, and I hook it up. And I'm very careful and methodical about how I do that. I hook up what's called weight distribution hitch. And it's got these big, heavy bars that you kind of cinch up. And then I hook a seven-way cable that makes sure I've got brakes that go to the trailer as well as lights. Then, of course, there's this breakaway cable that is an actual added safety feature because if you have a problem somehow, it automatically triggers the brakes in the trailer and stops your trailer. But even that's not enough, because the law requires that you hook up what's called safety chains to ensure that if all else fails, your trailer won't break free from the vehicle towing it, in this case my truck, and cause a disaster on the highway. Putting lots of people in peril. Now, what I've just described to you, those safety chains are essential. Get pulled over without those hooked up or without them on your rig, and you might as well just walk away from it. It's a huge violation. Because that's the appropriate use of a chain when it comes to towing a trailer. You think about it, that's the good and proper use of a chain. But tonight, you and I were handed three links of a chain. I'd like you to pull out right now for a few moments. You hold in your hand, as I do, three links of a chain representing shackles. Let's call them the effects of sin in our lives. We want you to think a little bit about that for a few moments. Just as the safety chains that I described earlier when it comes to trailering prevent my trailer from breaking loose, so too sin's burden and bondage prevents people from breaking free. In this way, chains symbolize sin. Let's just call it what it is. It has people stuck, held captive, even feeling somewhat shackled with the oppressive nature of sin. It just won't let go. This short story I want to show you, entitled Give It All to Him, describes, well, the way some, even in this gathering, are living today because of the bondage of, well, take a look. Those words that scrolled at the end, come to me, were words by Jesus. And he spoke them to people like us. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I find that irresistible. Don't you? I mean, let me ask a question. Have you allowed some trash, any kind of trash, to accumulate in your life? If you think of it as chains, have you been bound by chains of sin that won't let go? They hold on tight for a reason. When you commit a sin, it becomes part of you. It's part of your story. Some then start to carry the weight of that sin. Distant past or present, as we just saw. And it begins to hold them. Indeed, it won't let them go. And it results in the stuff of hurt and brokenness and anxiety and anger and regret and lust and guilt and greed and all kinds of things represented by chains. We allow the small fragments of mental kind of clutter, trash, to find its way into our minds, and it holds on to us like the sacks we just saw. It's way more than entertaining. It's impactful because it's descriptive, I think. Descriptive of our lives, not your life alone, but my life and your life, our lives. We can't quite explain how it all got there. That's, however, not necessary. Isn't that a remarkable thought? You're never asked by Jesus when he says, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and tell me all the trash. We couldn't if we tried. We're never asked to do that, to explain how it all got there. And for most of us who have felt freedom from that, have begun to let go of it, to be loosed from the grip of the chains that hold us, we couldn't even tell you how that all came about. But boy, is it freeing. God's grace allows us to take out the trash, to let go of it, and give our burden to Jesus, to see the chains of our lives break. You see, God made Christ, according to these words from the Bible, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sins so that we could be made right with God through Christ. That is a summary statement of Good Friday. The Father made his Son, who knew no sin, had never sinned, to take the sins of us, the trash, the chains that hold us, upon himself. And we aren't called to simply acknowledge our trash tonight. That's not what we're asked to do, and then continue to drag it along as though we're capable of handling that. No, no. We're called to give our burden to Jesus, to let him break the bonds of sin, to snap the chains, to accept God's offer for a new beginning, to take his gift of forgiveness. Have you done that? This Good Friday, that's the message for you. if you haven't. If you've never felt that kind of freedom, I want you to listen to these words very carefully from the Bible. Psalm 107 describes that the chains that enslave us, it describes how those chains enslave us, and then it describes who it is who can break them. Listen to this. Some sat in darkness and deepest gloom. Maybe that's kind of a visual right now of how you're living, of how you're feeling about life. Imprisoned in iron chains of misery, they rebelled against the words of God, scorning the counsel of the Most High. That's probably the description of how chains happen in the first place. But listen to this. Lord, help, they cry in their trouble, and he saved them from their distress. He led them from the darkness and deepest gloom, and I love this, he snapped their chains. Those words are straight from God to people like us who need him the most. Tonight I want to invite you in a few moments to leave your seat to come to the one who snaps chains. He is Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, who takes away sins. And did so on a cross, a rugged cross, so long ago. Sins of you and me, and forgives sinners like us, and sets us free. A song will be sung that talks about the Lamb of God. As the song is played, you will see the worship team taking their place on stage. And then you will see some servers, overseers in our church, make their way to the front. And each one will bring with them the three links of chain and drop them at the foot of the cross, signifying that they accept the words of God who offers to break the chain. Leaving the baggage behind, as you see them make their way to the front, the song will then be sung, and they will turn and face you with the components, the elements, the two pieces of communion that we invite you to take. As you come then forward at the end of that song, you'll be making your way to the middle aisle and down to the front. I want to invite you to drop your chains and then take the bread and the cup and make your way the side aisles back to your seat and spend some very precious moments, very important, quiet moments with Christ, talking to him about the chains you just left behind. And then in a few moments, you'll be directed to take communion once all have been served. Let's bow together. Thank you tonight for this profound reminder that it is at great cost to you, Jesus, that you have taken the garbage that we have brought you, and that many will bring you even tonight. This is not an old story. This is one being written tonight in some of our lives. But thank you tonight, Lord Jesus, that you take the trash we bring you. And that you take the chains that have held us and prevented us from living and loving as we should, and as you want us to. You take those chains, you break them as we seek your face. In these quiet moments, as we draw close to you, cause us to think deeply about the freedom and the forgiveness that can be ours because of what you have done for us. In the name of the Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world, the Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.